I titled the sermon today, Kicking Up Your Heels, because I thought I was going to talk about my dog Roxy and how she enjoys the springtime, and she was really kicking up her heels, but the ducks don't do that so much, and I had to share that story with the kids. So going on from that story, I would just like to let you know that it just amazed me that these two mom and dad Canada geese, they are just so protective of their young. You know, they know me, and they'll come in the fall. They'll come with their kids. They'll come back, and they'll visit with us for a few days before they go wherever they're going to go for the winter. And they're quite not tame. They're wild, but. They'll let me come close, and they don't try to bite me or kill me. Whereas right now, when the little ones are so small, you just don't want to put yourself anywhere near them because they would win. Ask the cat. So these little folks are swimming around, and pretty soon, another 3 weeks or so, they'll be bigger and they'll be stronger. And when they get their strength, then they start to learn how to fly. And that is a hoot, because the pond is, you know, probably three whole times the width of this sanctuary. It's huge. And they'll start at one end, and we're over here by the piano, and they'll start at the one end, and the little ones will come along, and they'll do nothing day after day. And then all of a sudden, one day, one of them gets a little off the lake, and then from that moment on, it's just things are all different, and they're all moving so fast and learning so quickly. These are things that they don't learn from a textbook. I don't know if they chat with their friends about these kinds of things or not. How do you raise your babies? Well, they do this every year, so they've had a bit of experience too, but they're going to stay around for a while, and then this little group, this is the in-group, this little group is going to accept the other Canada geese that are in the neighborhood, so they'll all start waddling across the road to the river and back again, and spending a lot of their time at the river and coming back, and sometimes they walk right under our deck to swim out into the pond. So it's quite a cool time. And when I saw that yesterday, I got thinking about this scripture passage and how there seems to be in Peter's mind and in the disciples' minds and in all of the people who have been following Jesus, there's an idea that there's an in-group and an out-group. So the people who are in the inner circle are Jesus' disciples and friends, the people who are now following Jesus, and they're all Jewish. They're from the Jewish tradition because the Jewish tradition states quite clearly that the Hebrew people are the chosen people of God. So being not Hebrew and not of that time, I can say, well, it doesn't say the rest of us, the Gentiles, aren't part of the family of God too, but it doesn't say it really directly. So the thinking is that the Gentiles, everybody who isn't Jewish, is not part of the in circle. They're outsiders. They haven't been born and raised in the faith. They haven't been circumcised, the men. So what do we do if they want to start following this group, which is just a group within the Jewish faith? It's not its own religion. Are we going to let them in or not? And the people who stay in Jerusalem and make a lot of the rules for Jesus' group, they can be real stick-in-the-muds. They are very conservative and they're very traditional. So when they hear that Simon Peter has actually been seen eating with Gentiles and being in their homes, that makes me think, well, gee, didn't Jesus do that too? But anyways, he was hauled back to Jerusalem. What's the matter here? We're hearing that you're fraternizing with those unclean people. Well, I've had a vision. My whole life has been turned upside down. And he explains it, and bravo for those folk that have stayed in Jerusalem, because they take him at his word. They go, my gosh, the message is for everybody? God loves everybody? This basket with all sorts of different clean and unclean animals, God said eat? Like, we don't have to be bound by all those rules that we followed since we were young children? None of us have ever, you know, our mouths have not touched unclean food. And you say that this was a vision? Yeah, Peter said, three times the message came. It wasn't like I just heard it and said, okay. I resisted, because after all, I thought it was ridiculous too, but I guess God's love is just bigger than we thought, because God's love includes all of those people who were on the outside. They can now become part of the inside too. So that's the good news, the gospel, that God welcomes and cares for everyone. Everyone. Every human being and all of creation. For all that has life in its many, many diverse forms. And especially for those who have been shunned and erased and kicked to the sidelines by the mainstream of every day and time. The ones who hate themselves on the inside because they have absorbed the messages that the culture just sends to those who are on the margins. Those who can't even believe that God could love them. And yet the good news is that God does. So I asked Monica this week if she would include Parkminster's invitation for us to join them tonight to hear Dee Morton's story of transitioning genders. And I think it's important for this day because I thought, well, my goodness, there would possibly be people who wouldn't even know what transgender is or transitioning genders is. So I'd like to just share with you a quick story about a community that I lived in before I came here in Goderich, when I was ministering to three congregations who were becoming one and are now a Lakeshore United Church in Goderich, the only United Church in Goderich. Goderich is a very small town. It's kind of like the Andy of Mayberry. It really is in many, many ways. Some people would say quaint, conservative, loving. And when I was there, we all experienced a miracle. And the miracle happened when a young boy who was in grade 9 or so and had known for his whole life that even though he had this body of a guy, inside he felt that he was a girl. And he tried to conform, and he just couldn't. It was just impossible because everything that he did and felt was as a girl rather than as a boy. Now, if you've studied cultures around the world, you'll know that some cultures don't have gender. So gender is something that we put on times and places. It's a social thing. And I don't know. I know that a lot of young kids that age would kill themselves when they found that out and they knew that they were in that sort of a tension. It would be too much. And this was a guy who was raised in a conservative Baptist congregation. And I went, oh my gosh, can't believe it. And do you know what that kid did with so much courage? He came out to his parents. Now the story can go two ways. And for a lot of people, it's gone bad. I know I've got friends who were just totally shunned by their families, the Mennonite families, the community, United Church, whatever. This family sat down and listened. And they talked with him. And they decided that who he felt himself to be was more important than how they had labeled him at birth. And they supported him into transitioning. So then he was free to cut his hair however he wanted to, wear whatever clothes he wanted to, be involved with people as a girl rather than as a boy. The staff at the school were tremendous. There was no bullying at all at the school that I've heard of from the family or any of the kids from our church. That girl has just been accepted as one of the community. She is herself, her own person, and she is encouraged by her friends, by her school, and by her family. And that, to me, is a miracle. Because that's not the story of lots of people who find that they're different or who feel that they're different. And we're just starting now to see transgendered people on television shows or whatever. In the United Church, we've been welcoming transgendered in the 1990s. So I thought, if you haven't heard of this kind of a struggle, maybe it's important that we name it here. Because Godrich taught me that we don't have to be us and them, you know, the ins and the outs, that it doesn't hurt anybody who's on the in to include the people who are on the sidelines. They're not taking away from the small group. They're actually adding a lot of diversity to it. So that calls for open hearts, eh? Open hearts to just see people as people, to see through all of the masks that we wear and the stories that we don't tell, to just accept people for who they are and go from there. So when we look back to Jesus' time, Jesus calls us way back in the Gospels through to Peter's time and to today to conversations of the heart so that we can cross these unhealthy boundaries that separate one from another, boundaries that we've put up in our own cultures, and they're different from culture to culture, aren't they? Like Peter, I think we're called to really discern what we hear God saying to us and not just brush it off. Well, couldn't have meant that, you know. I can't imagine how Peter's whole life could be turned upside down with that one vision that God had to speak three times. We sing about walls dividing, being broken down. We see it all around the world in different times and places today. And through it all, we see Jesus' message of love, God's love for everybody. Like Peter, we need to reflect on that deeply, to be touched and to see through a new lens and to be transformed in our words, in our actions, and in our attitude. Just as Jesus was transforming others so long ago, God still knocks on the doors of our hearts. Who are you and me and this congregation called to love, irregardless of the differences that we might see? Differences that could divide, like class and gender, nationality, ability. There's all sorts of ways we are taught from a young age to make us and them and create fear between. God is working miracles right here in this congregation, right here in this community of Rosemount and beyond into Kitchener-Waterloo and around the world. God is working miracles. That's where we're supposed to be kicking up our heels or flying to new heights as we journey into this gift of God for us, newness of life, new creations in the making. Amen.